Well, good evening again. This is Pastor Denny from Friendship Congregational Bible Church in Friendship, Wisconsin. It is Monday, May 11th. So it's good to be with you again. I hope everyone's doing well. And we'll be in, well, actually starting up 2 Thessalonians today. So if you want to turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and that's where we'll be today. So again, I hope you're enjoying all the nice weather here in Friendship. Yes, Mother's Day yesterday, it was rainy and a little snowy, but we've been having a lot of nice weather of late, and hopefully the next few nights we'll be done with all the frost. That'll be nice. But it looks like it will be. It'll be nice for the rest of the week with some rain. But yeah, let's go ahead and we'll open up in a word of prayer, and then we'll get started in 2 Thessalonians. Lord, we just want to thank you again for a nice day, Lord. And no matter what the weather is, Lord, it's always a wonderful day because we know who we are in you, that we're forever yours. And if the worst would ever to happen to us and we leave this world, we know that absent from this body, we'll be present with you. So we always have reason for rejoicing, always reason to give thanks. And we thank you for it. So we just ask for your blessing upon your word today, that you use it, speak to us, and continue to mold and change us and mature us in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So again, we are here, 2 Thessalonians, starting up this book, which is only 3 chapters. It's not very long. And I'm not going to go into a lot of the background, but basically it's Paul's second epistle to the Thessalonians, and yes, he is going to address again the second coming of Christ, and they're still having issues with that, and that's what we'll probably talk about ourselves a good bit as well. And after this is all said and done, we're going to touch on that one more time. We'll have a separate 15 in quarantine just dedicated to the second coming of Christ and the rapture, or what we call the rapture, the mystery coming of Christ, and we'll just compare and contrast them, just so you have a better understanding. And it's good to hit that over and over again because, well, today you hear a lot about the tribulation, or the rapture must be coming soon, or the second coming of Christ will be here soon, or tribulation's already here, and so many things. So that's what we'll even look at a little bit tonight. So starting in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. And then we'll stop there. So these first 4 verses, kind of like the intro of 2 Thessalonians. One, again, Silvanus and Timotheus, same as before. But he says, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That verse means a lot, but we're going to hold off on that verse, and we're going to finish with that verse of these first 4. So, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren. It is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. And then he comments again about the faith, so that we ourselves glory in you and the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. So, again, we also see in chapter 2, verse 13, we'll see it again, this word bound. But whenever he says that we are bound to thank God always for you, it's kind of a sense of like this is something that he owes them, or that it's like a debt or a duty to say we are bound to thank God always for you. And how often are we doing that for each other, thanking God for each other? Because we are. We're the body of Christ. And we'll touch on it here in just a second. So why? Why does he say that we thank God for it is meet because of your faith? Meet meaning this is fitting. It's a due reward. This is good to give thanks to them for their faith and for their love that he's saying here. Well, faith that groweth exceedingly. We think of Romans 10:17, that what it says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's one way faith grows. So when Paul's thanking them for their faith, because it groweth exceedingly, how does it grow? Well, it grows directly from God's word. It also grows, in my opinion, you see in 2 Corinthians 5:7, as well as we walk by faith and not by sight. You know, we should be fully dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ and his word. We shouldn't include ourselves in scripture. It should be all God's word and his word alone. And everything we think or whatnot has to be tried by God's word. And some of that requires us by walking by faith and not by sight. We might not always get the answer from the Lord. That's why we stay in the spirit, walk in the spirit, walk in love, and let him work in our lives and produce it for the spirit. But Romans 5, 1, just to go back there, I know we had a whole 15-minute quarantine on Romans chapter 5, the first part of it, but therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope and the glory of God. So it's interesting, another way faith grows is what? We talked about this, I'm not going to spend a lot of time in it. But we know that when we do walk by faith and not by sight, there are things, there's hard times that come, there's tribulations that come. And as we walk in the Lord, trust him and his word, and we don't always have the answers of how the outcome might be or whatnot, but that patience, then experience and experience hope, and then hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. As we walk by faith, it's never a blind faith, as many people will say. When you choose to love the Lord first over yourself and over what the world has to say, and you say, God's word means something in my life, and you look to him, and when it says that Paul gloried in tribulations, many times he points that out time and time again. 2 Corinthians 5, we see that when he asked God to have this thorn in the flesh removed, and he says, and God answers him back and says, my grace is sufficient for you. And Paul immediately, after he gets the answers from the Lord, he says, well, you know what? I'll glory in all these things. But why is that? Because when you let the Lord work in your life, let the Holy Spirit produce in your life, you come out on the other end knowing and experiencing the God of all the universe who lives inside of you. And the Holy Spirit now witnesses with your spirit. He's the one where the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Spirit, just pours out over. So anytime you walk by faith, truly your faith does become a substance. It becomes an evidence. It becomes something that's not a blind faith. And I don't want to talk too much because we already talked in a lot of detail about that. But when you look at that, he also said that he's given thanks to Thessalonians about their love that aboundeth. We know that the body of Christ in Ephesians here, that Sunday mornings we've covered this. But let me just read this verse here. 4:16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, it describes part of the body, but in context there are things going on. But the fact is that we're a body. We affect each other. We all have a part. We all have a role. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, just to read a little bit more about the body of Christ. 12, let's see here. Don't want to read it all, but for by one spirit we all baptize in this one body. So we know that we do have a spiritual baptism that does put us into the body of Christ. And it says this body is not one member, but many. We know Christ is our head. And the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, and am I not of the body, as it is therefore not of the body. He keeps going on and on, and eventually he says, look, everybody has a specific purpose that God gives. He even talks about that the members of the body in verse 23, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow even more abundant honor. And our comely parts have more abundant comeliness, for our comely parts have no need, but God tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to the part which lacked. Let me get a drink here. So we see Paul's commending them for their faith that grows, but also their love towards one another. And when we see what the body of Christ should be functioning as, obviously they were doing this. They were there, edifying each other, one another in love. But we also see here that there should be no schism. Talks about if one suffers, then all suffer. If one member is honored, then all members rejoice. Basically, the whole body of Christ in love, loving together. And Paul's mentioning this to be thankful for that. Now, again, we're not going to look at every detail. These are just gleanings from 1 and 2 Thessalonians. But I want to get to this tonight before our time's up. Because the second coming of Christ and the rapture, the mystery coming of Christ, they're two different things. Paul already wrote to them. We talked about it. But let's start here already talking about it in a roundabout way to kind of prime you for the verses coming in the next several 15 minutes in quarantine. Paul says in verse 2, "Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ." Now I have these written out. In all Paul's epistles, you see Romans 1:7, "To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Corinthians, "Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Corinthians. Now these are all within the first few verses, so I'm not going to say them all, but 2 Corinthians, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ." Galatians, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ." Same thing in Ephesians, same thing in Philippians, same thing in Colossians, same thing in 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, Timothy, "Grace, mercy, peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ." 2 Timothy, did I say 1 Timothy? Hope I did. But 1 and 2 Timothy, "Grace, mercy, peace from God the Father and Lord Jesus Christ." Same with Titus, Philemon, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus." All Paul's epistles, he mentions grace and peace. Why? Well, what did Paul say in Ephesians? He said something very unique in Ephesians chapter 3. And let me read this, because this is important to grasp. "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given, what? Me, to you word. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words. Whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God, given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am the least of all saints, is this grace given." So all through there, he's very possessive and being very responsible that this was something he received from the Lord. He took ownership of it. He wasn't going to let anyone else compromise what he received directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's why you see Paul many times in the epistle saying, "Look, this is my gospel. I didn't preach the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrection from the dead according to Peter's gospel," because he preached the Lord Jesus Christ risen from the dead to sit on David's throne. But no, Paul says, "I preach the Lord Jesus Christ, his resurrection, according to my gospel, according to what Christ gave to me specifically." So Paul has this specific thing that he receives, and it's called what? The dispensation of the grace of God. And he says, okay, this is the grace given to me for mainly two reasons, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. Now, we've been going through Ephesians Sunday morning, but this unsearchable, I compare that to a Google search. If that's basically at the time, let's say Google, let's say right now, Paul was revealing this right now, writing this right now for the first time. It'd be like going to the Google search engine, typing in, okay, what are the unsearchable riches of Christ? You wouldn't find it. It would search the whole Word of God, all these things. You wouldn't find any of it. Because why? Because Paul now is revealing this mystery. But he says, "To make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, from the beginning of the world has been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." So kind of a twofold purpose there. I bring that up because when you consider he's the apostle of the Gentiles, mainly also the apostle revealing the dispensation of the grace of God. when you see every epistle open up grace and peace, how can there be, how can you open up every epistle with grace and peace and us be able to look at that today and for us to sit here and say, oh, the tribulation's going on. Though that's not a time of peace at all. Yes, there isn't going to be earthly peace. The nation of Israel looked for that. That's what they were looking for in their Savior. And one day that will come. But here, spiritual peace. Peace with God that we looked at in Romans 5:1, that because of you simply placing your faith in Christ's faithfulness, that he's the one that shed his innocent blood, was buried, died, and buried, rose again the third day, and for that absolute forgiveness of sin, that propitiation that was in him that truly satisfied the payment for sin before God the Father, that simple faith in him, Paul goes on later on to say, therefore being justified. Just by that simple faith, we have peace with God. That's why he says this is a dispensation of God's of grace and peace that he opens up with all the time. Let me read another verse here. And almost forgot where I was going. Where was I going? Oh, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Whenever he says, to wit, 5:19, to wit that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Remember Peter, when Ananias and Sapphira came unto them? What happened? Well, they lied. They lied to God the Holy Spirit. And what happened? They died. There was judgment right away. Well, today, God's not in the business of judging. All judgment's all in the Son. But here, to wit, God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. There's literally nothing between us and God but the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's pretty amazing. It's pretty amazing that we don't have to pay for any of our sins right now. He's not imputing judgment or any of those things. Now, yes, there's a day coming. There is a time of judgment coming. And Paul talked about that in 1 Thessalonians and told them, look, you've been saved not only from the wrath of hell and things like that when you see in Romans chapter 5, but also the wrath of the second coming, which includes the tribulation, includes that whole time period. That you're saved from that. We'll get to that more. So Paul opens up and says, grace and peace unto you. And I want you to think about that as we go through that. That how can Paul say grace and peace knowing, if this were to be true, knowing that we would go through the tribulation, that we would be in danger so much and of the wrath of God when he says no. No, part of your salvation, part of this dispensation of God's grace is not only that absolute forgiveness of sins where you're permanently secured, going to heaven, heaven bound, and you're saved from that wrath of hell, but also, he says, something else I reveal, the unsearchable riches of Christ, something else I reveal in this mystery is this mystery coming of Christ where you're saved from the physical wrath that will happen here on earth during the tribulation and the second coming of Christ. So it's just interesting. This truly is the dispensation of God's grace. Grace that truly leads to peace. That for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is truly the gift of God. A gift of God that leads to peace with God. And you can experience the peace of God for us believers when we wholeheartedly give everything over to him. Realizing that he truly is at hand. He truly is near you every moment, every step of the way, if we're willing just to continue to walk in him, to walk in love, and let the Holy Spirit produce in your life. So keep all those things in mind, because it's important. Paul will get back in to going over the second coming of Christ again. And it's amazing that today, and I didn't pick 1 and 2 Thessalonians for this purpose, but I keep getting asked questions, are we going through the tribulation? Is the rapture real close? And I go over and over and over again. And as we go through this, yes, we'll touch on it in text, but after we're done with 2 Thessalonians, we will compare and contrast the second coming of Christ and what it means to the tribulation to the second coming and why we are truly don't have to experience that, and how everything Paul says about the coming of Christ for us, that was a mystery, was nothing but joy. Nothing about him always saying, comfort one another with these words. Whereas when the second coming of Christ is talked about and the walk through the tribulation, it was always talked about judgment and wrath and all everything else that's going to happen. And we don't have to worry about that. Paul says, I have no need. So, again, went a little longer today, but I just wanted to touch base on that and kind of set the stage as we go in again and talk about the second coming of Christ. So, let me just make sure I didn't forget anything in my notes because I got carried away and quit looking at my notes. But yeah, I think I covered everything I wanted to for tonight. So again, till next time, we continue just an overview or just some gleanings from 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. I hope to see you again Wednesday. So let's just go ahead and pray. Lord, thank you again for your word. Thank you that we can rely on it. But Lord, as we do look again, and I know so many of us sometimes just think so much that your wrath is here already. The tribulation is here already. But your word doesn't say that. And I know certain times, especially now, it's hard to overcome our feelings. It's hard to overcome hearing so many people say the tribulation is here and we're going to go through part of it or all of it or whatever the case is. And it can be scary for some of us, especially right now. But Lord, help us to take our feelings and filter them through your word, your truth, so that we can truly rest in realizing that, one, we have peace with you, meaning we will be heaven bound. Absent from this body is to be present with you. But Lord, you also talk about that peace also extends into the wrath of judgment, that second coming of Christ as well, that we're saved from that too. We will never have to experience the tribulation. So Lord, as we look to your word and continue to help us to truly grasp your word and be able to rest in it fully. And we thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So until next time, guys, God bless, and we'll see you next time.